This is the Levels Podcast. I am Justin Horto, aka The Horoscope, joined by the Triple OG, Whitamy Mason. OG, finals week run review time is here. And I don't know, how did you view the finals over there? It's mixed bag, wasn't it? Like the two dominant performances and then both the knockout games were highly entertaining for different reasons. But did you enjoy the weekend of footy?
I did. I loved it. As you just said, Broncos Storm and Panthers Warriors. I didn't expect it to be that much of a gap.
The Broncos Storm game was quite surprising, wasn't it?
It was more of a bit of a flex, wasn't it, from Brisbane and Penrith? You guys are fucking third and fourth for a reason, right? Yeah, it looked pretty dominant. It was pretty scary, actually. I'm like, those two teams, just going off that one weekend, is like, they're the best two teams. They should meet in the grand final. Anything less will be a fucking... It'll be awful to watch.
And this is respectfully to the other fans.
Respectfully,
it'll be disappointing if those two don't play each other in the grand final.
If you're just a fan of rugby league, you'd be like, I want Brisbane and I want the Panthers because they're the only two teams that can beat each other.
Yeah.
Everyone else, no disrespect, you can't go near it.
They can't match
you
them.
You cannot go near it, especially with the injuries that's happened to the Roosters and all these other players.
Melbourne.
Like, fucking Melbourne. They're all they're limping in and those two are sitting there with a fucking week off going, bring it on.
Warriors missing SJ last week. He's probably 50-50 proposition. So we'll get down to breaking down the games. Mace, we've been in the news the last couple of weeks, right? Yeah, Buzz Rothfield was causing a stir. He wasn't happy with your comments on it, and he let everyone know on 360.
I'd be the bigger man then. You know that. I was like, you know what? I'll just let the old man have his little fucking time because there's a long year next year.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, you know, I don't want to add fuel to the fire. And I only ask a couple of people in this world for advice, right?
Yeah.
It's probably Wayne Bennett and Phil Gould.
Yeah.
And I run it by him.
Yeah, not too bad mentors.
Yeah. They're my two mentors if I've got a fucking, usually I can deal with a lot of shit myself, and I'm like, fuck, it was itching at me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what do I do? Wayne, Gus, like, let it go, big boy.
Yeah.
So you're fucking lucky, Buzz.
Some shit's just better left through to the keeper, right?
Because it wasn't going to be nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't want to put that energy out there anyway. So
And he's not the only one that's fed up. Tyson Gamble wasn't happy as well with the rankings. And
his feelings got hurt.
Well, we'll get to it, right? So so what I did was I feel a little bit responsible because
no way. No,
listen, hear me out.
Yeah, okay, I can get it.
There's no way I thought they were the bottom. I feel like I should have stuck up for the Knights spine a little bit more.
It just came out of nowhere, didn't it?
It did. And look, I get asked about our relationship all the time. And then when you you can get a bit fired up. Yeah. And especially, you know, when we're on with Missile talking about him when we do radio on that.
Yeah.
And he's having a laugh at it all. And I said, you know, when the big dog's rolling, you just really roll because at the end of the day, even though I disagreed with the take, there's no way I thought they were the worst spine. I knew it was going to be good content.
Yeah.
so you just got to let it roll.
We'll get to it. But like seriously, when we break these things down, I'm like,
I'll
stand by what I said.
100% you will. So I've just got my version of how I think the tiers for the spines are.
Yeah.
And I put them into, as I was going through them, I did a 1 to 17, but I really struggled with, even 1 to 4. Like all of them could be interchanging depending on the time of the year, one or two players out, whatever. And same for tiers 2, 3 and 4. And I've named them because that's a giggle.
Yeah.
And we went through that together. I put the tiers together and then you helped me name them based off the information that I gave you. Big week of sport, mate. We'll get to that. UFC results, Rugby World Cup. But before we get into that and a few other topics plus review on the game, just want to apologize to everyone for the episode. We had some technical difficulties with YouTube. It has been addressed. Obviously, we're filming this episode right now. You're watching it on YouTube. So we're all good. We're all sorted. If you missed it on YouTube, you obviously could listened to it on Apple and Spotify and make sure you subscribe when you're on there as well if you're new. Maybe you've left YouTube or you missed it on YouTube on Thursday, the preview. So you thought, why don't I go on Apple and Spotify for this week? Hit that subscribe button too, baby, while you're there. But if you did miss it, you could find it on levelsnetwork.com.au if you want to go back and watch it, see what myself and Mace tipped. It was a bit of a mixed bag because the results were like that. But if you go all the way to the back end of the episode, the LPC multi-hit.
Did you? Yes.
Reece Walsh, the first 60 minutes. Callum Ponga, first 60 minutes. 11 of the best. Gamble
responsible. Nice.
So a big thank you to our friends, partners,
the first one?
In the LBC. There's been a couple throughout the year. Yeah, so if you missed out, you can go on levelsnetwork.com.au to watch that episode. Plus, while you're there, register your email because this merch is coming out soon. The hoodies are coming out very soon. We're gonna package them up together. We've got some hats coming out as well. Lukey has sent pictures into that group, so go jump in there, and then you will be on the list. And we've got limited amounts of hoodies and hats, so you got to be in there and be quick. And the best way to do that is be in levelsnetwork.com.au. 17,500 YouTube subscribers, Mace, chasing that 20K. Crazy, man. We even jumped 400 without an episode from Thursday, so That's a big jump for sure. 21K on Instagram. If you're watching this for the first time, or
TikTok. What are we on TikTok?
TikTok's flying.
That's why 16-year-old kids recognize me. Fucking weird.
Yeah. Big OG, big winner, up the Waz.
So what are you talking about?
Up the Waz.
We're here with a bunch of school kids the other day going, up the Waz. I'm like, how the fuck would you even know me? They're 16, 17-year-olds. Weird.
Yeah, and Lukey was at the USC, so shout out to Lukey. He got some good shots for Levels Network, working with the great and powerful Olin Tekkers. We'll go through the card. Yeah. So some of the results that weren't on the main card, but yeah, we're going to be following the Anzac. Jack Jenkins didn't get the dub. He got beaten by Mariscal. Carlos Ulberg, how do you pronounce his name? I always struggle with his last name, mate.
Ulberg.
He submitted Jung. Pedro, our boy Pedro.
Yes.
From the
Half Cast Podcast. Shout out to Pedro. Good work, bro.
Got his knockout.
Saw that. That was mad.
So happy for him because when we were over there filming the potty.
He's right in the heart of it too, wasn't he? He looked nervous and he just looked fit and scary, right? But like you could tell that it was still like just fucking crazy.
Big training camp, man.
The camp was heavy. Yeah. I suppose when you train like that, like every single day, you go into these matches like no one can fucking touch you. You've been sparring with Izzy and all that kind of stuff. Their camp's so good over there. So well done. Hard work does pay off.
Pump for him and fucking nice little celebration. I love his celebration when he does the samurai stuff.
How do you think of that shit? You must be in your head, eh?
I think it's because remember from the podcast, he said he'd done some form of meditation in the years that he was out with the 3 years he missed with the injury. So he spent a lot of time reflecting and working on himself. Man. So I think it's to do with that. Big Us, Justin Tuffer.
Yeah. He laid the smackdown
on Lane. Austin Lane, he's an ex-NFL player too, by the way.
6-7 years in the game.
Yeah. I think he's an ex-Jags player. Volkov, he just sort of tied out Big Ty. Ty didn't get the knockout and he got the submission. And the biggest one, Sean Strickland upset Izzy. It was a weird fight, the Izzy one.
We're not professionals here, but it's like
by no means.
We thought
Izzy was this is coming from
the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Like just off of last Izzy's fights, like he's a striker, right? And Strickland, you know, he's a striker as well, but he loves to grapple. And it's like they didn't go on the ground. He outstruck Izzy. It's weird, right?
He just kept on moving forward.
And some of his comments out after going like he thought he was fighting no one, Lukey. You know what I mean? Like amateur. Like it's like, fuck, I don't know. Fucking hard game, fight game, man.
Oh, hard game. Some really a mixed bag of result for the Anzac, but it looked like, you could see all the energy, whether it was on social media or you're watching it. On TV at home, it looked like a crazy
brutal
atmosphere.
Sport, man.
A little bit of Rugby World Cup as well. France win the opener against the All Blacks. That's the first time the All Blacks have ever lost a pool game.
Ever.
Since 87, the first World Cup.
Yeah. That is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. You would have thought they would have played, I know they had the quarter final loss to France, which was a big, I think it was a quarter final or a semi final when France went to go on to win it.
Yeah.
But you would have thought they would have played at least someone
like Australia, man.
Difficult in a pool game and lost the game. But
this is one of the most even World Cups I've seen for a while.
It's pretty wide open, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the results for just some of the main teams. So Ireland, they were dominant against Romania, but it's Romania. Australia beat Georgia 35-15. Eddie Jones, the goat of presses, the deflector of doom, is talking up their
– what do you say, the scrums? The Georgians are known for scrummaging.
They are.
Did we out-scrummage them?
You did, right. Australia went well. They stood up and, Georgia aren't a top-tier nation, but for whatever reason, they've got a pretty good forward pack. England kicked 9 penalty goals to beat Argentina 27-10. Did not score a try. Typical Northern Hemisphere fucking rugby there. And South Africa accounted for Scotland 18-3.
What about 3
and Libok? Do you see the no looker from Libok?
Yeah, it's mad. That
the
kick.
Silky, eh?
Yeah, he's got some skills, bro. South Africa are dangerous. Yeah. Do you reckon the powers that be who run the World Cup just want a fucking Northern Hemisphere team to win? They're over South Africa and they're over New Zealand and they're over Australia. It's just dominance, dominance, dominance.
Who's your pick? Who do you think?
They want England to win and France.
No,
that would be perfect for them. They don't want England. They want England, not Ireland, not Scotland, not Wales.
So England are on the side with Australia, and I think Ireland, France, All Blacks, the Saffirs, they're all on the same side.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I think Australia and England have got the good run. Argentina, they're going to be all on the same side and eventually have to play each other. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I think, you know, France, All Blacks, Ireland and South Africa.
Yeah, we need to do something with Matt Giddo and those boys on that podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And just ask a few questions with that sort of stuff, right?
Maybe going in.
Coming into the finals, get rid of all these pool games, but then coming in the quarters, I think we should sit down and have a chat with them.
Yeah, for sure.
They're good dudes, great dudes.
Yeah, the NRL season will be over and then we could maybe, there'll be like 2 or 3 weeks going into semi-finals when the NRL season finishes over. So
reach out to your kids. Good man.
Do at the end of the year. All right, let's get into straight off the bat. So I've got the story here. This story is from George Clark and the Western Australia. It must have been from another story. Anyway, Tyson Gamble was asked about the Willie Mason comments on our potty last week. So Newcastle fired Tyson Gamble has told Willie Mason to stay in his lane after the former test prop claimed the Knights had the worst spine in the game. The outspoken Mason, who played 3 seasons for Newcastle, said on a podcast last week, "It's Levels Network, baby. Come on. You got to put that in there. That opposition sides would not be fearful of the Knights' key playmaking threats, apart from Callum Ponga." Yes. But said no team would be doing video analysis on spine containing Jackson Hastings, Phoenix Crossland and Gamble. The Knights are into week 2 of the finals after defeating Canberra. Hastings, Crossland and Gamble all confirmed they had seen the comments, with the latter telling Mason to focus on the issues at Canterbury where he is part of the staff. "Me, Jacko and Phoenix definitely saw it," Gamble told AAP. "Everybody's got an opinion. It's all right. He should probably worry about his own backyard before he stops worrying about other people. He was a middle and not a half, so tell him to get fucked." That's where he's also an international rep player, and you haven't done that yet. And I'm going to stick up for you too, Tyson. Don't worry about it. But we're not a team of superstars. We've got Kalen, who is the biggest star in the game. We're a team of blokes who do their job, and that's why they're in the position we're in. The Knights beat Mason's Bulldogs 66-0 and 42-6.
I love how they're my Bulldogs now.
Yeah.
Everything's – I'm there. Yeah. I'm part of the fucking
club,
mate.
Before I go through my tears, I will also say, if you have watched the podcast or if you do watch the podcast, you've represented at international and state level with the likes of Jonathan Thurston, Andrew Johns, Cooper Cronk. When we go into spine, we can talk about Cameron Smith. So I think it's
if anyone can say something on like what a spine looks like.
Or just rugby league.
Rugby league. I don't have to play in the forwards. Like, I love the game. I'm a student of the game and I know what a fucking spine looks like.
Yeah.
And that ain't it. is not it.
All right. This is where I'm going to stick up for him. This is where I've got their back. He brings a different style of footy. He's a goer. Like, he's a guy that's...
Well, he's always in clubs. He's a goer.
How do we explain this? All right, so what I'll do is I'll go through the tiers. I'll put them into tiers, and they've all got names, obviously, as well. So these are my spine ranking tiers. The first one's David Goggins, almost perfect. You know, you see the OG David Goggins getting after it. He's training. Go watch some of his videos on Instagram.
Perfect.
It's just like almost – it's almost perfect. And there's no such thing as a perfect spine. There's no such thing as a perfect player.
You'll see him slipping maybe day 4.
Yeah.
On the biggest like ultra marathons.
He's on an ultra. He's run over like 200K. Yeah. Then his spine might dip a little bit. But other than that, it's always perfect. So I've got 4 teams in this tier because it's very hard to separate.
Are this 1, 2, 3, and 4 in your own mind?
Sort of. That's how it is. That's the reason I put him into tiers is because then I started to – question myself, like I started to change around, like, recency bias is big, past history is big, what you've achieved so far, how you've played this year, you know, like they're all similar things when I talk about them, but I just thought these four teams for me, I don't care about what the results are specifically because the Rabbits are in this one, but and this is taken away if you have this spine with the exact same outside backs and forwards, right? Yeah. So I think some of these spines are improved by the level of middles that are around them, wingers, outside backs. Yeah, they've got some of these guys have really helped out. So I've got the Storm, Panthers, Broncos and Rabbits. So Meaney, Munster, Hughes and Grant, Edwards, Luai, Cleary and Kenny, Walsh, Mam, Reynolds and Walters, Trell, Cody Walker, Ilias and Cook.
You know, the common denominator with all four teams, they're one player off being outstanding. Almost so you perfect. You put a Pappy in there with the Storm, crazy. You put Appy back at Panthers last year, mental. Broncos, Walters, you know, like they're even though he does a great job for them, but like if it's a world-class nine, then the Bronx. And then the Rabbits, you got Ilias, you put a world-class seven. You're talking like three of the best players in the game in all their positions, right?
So you get like, just say you, Mitch Kenny's a dog as well.
And no disrespect to those guys. I'm just saying they're just a one play. So go for Panthers middle.
Up here, it's hard not to put, if when Uppy's back in there, hard not to put them number one.
Yeah.
They're almost a lock for number one.
Yeah.
And then you put Reynolds back into the Rabbitohs. Shit, they might even jump the Storm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's what the conversation, that's why it was hard. Mm. Because if you're a neutral and you're looking at these teams, the bias of the followers or the supporters that follow their team will probably argue.
They won't get it. They had great years.
They could argue, you know, their team above the others. But I think, you know, you put them in the David Goggins tier, almost perfect, but perfect.
Almost, it is.
Second is the Brent Tate tier. So the Brent Tate tier is...
How'd we get it?
Like, well, Brent Tate tier...
Beautiful balanced man, beautiful posture.
The posture looks good, right? But it's got assistance. Because he's got that fucking neck brace in there.
Frankie Francis Melly.
Yeah, you take that out, he probably, you know, through the injuries, he's probably hunching over a little bit, but...
They have to prop him up on Fox Sports up in North Queensland.
It appears perfect, but there are some issues in there, right?
Just need a little bit of a hand, right?
Just needs a little bit of a hand.
Just needs that one guy with him.
All right, so I've got the Eels, Roosters, Warriors and Cowboys. So you've got Gutho, Dill Brown, Moses and Lussick from Parramatta. Roosters are Tedesco, Kiri, Walker and Cheese. The Warriors are Chance, Nickel, Klokstad, Metcalf, Johnson and Egan. And the Cowboys, who I think can really, you know, if they'd had another good season, they could have been in the discussion to get into the Dave Goggins tier. But
so you've put into calculations like the seasons that they've had this year, right?
Yeah, everything. It's like everything. Some of them, the runs that they've got on the board.
People would argue someone should be in number four instead of the Rabbits because they didn't make the eight.
Yeah,
I reckon someone will do that. And it's like the Roosters made it, like and the Warriors. They're all fucking good teams, man.
Yeah,
but they're all fucking great spines here as well.
Yeah, so you got I think the Cowboys for sure are a team that were underwhelming this year.
Mm.
But you know, Drinkwater played really good in spurts. Dearden, Townsend come good at the end of the year. Reece Robson was unbelievable at Origin level when he filled in for games 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Gutho, Brown and Moses, they just couldn't get on the field together consistently. And Lussie come at the end of the year and he's still like a question mark because he's a bit of a journeyman himself. Mm.
The Roosters have got it.
The Roosters are another one on paper. They look silky, but they just didn't perform this year.
Yeah.
But if they had performed and were a top four team, then they're another.
That's it.
They could jump the Rabbitohs potentially.
Mm.
And I know that's weird saying that the Rabbitohs didn't even make the finals, but these are just my thoughts. And now we go down to the Buzz Rothfield tier, right? So whenever you watch Buzz Rothfield on, you know, 360.
Worst posture ever.
He's always writing his notes. He's the only time he really gets up, but he's always just...
He needs a lot of help.
He's just
slumped. That's what it is. He needs a lot of help.
If you've watched the Oneless...
Oneless, yes. Shout out to Oneless.
He's even bending a little bit more in that, but, you know, Buzz Rothfield, you know...
One of the worst postures in the world.
Yeah, it's not the best posture. So, and this is where we find there's so many question marks in this. And I've even got a couple of my good mates in this tier as well. So it's not a complete – it's not the worst here. Mm. We'll get to the worst here. So you got the Knights, and I think there's an argument that
they should
next
be in the last
year
one.
No, I think there's an argument for next year if they can prove together that they can find themselves in the Brent Tate tier. But for now, they're in Buzz. Ponga, Gamble, Hastings and Crossland. Then you've got Sharks, Kennedy, Trindle, Hines and Brayley. Again, another candidate to move up.
Yeah.
If Trindle can establish himself with Hines properly and become that that next piece that Cronulla need. Yeah. I think they can go up. Manly, DCE. So you
put Garrick in there instead of Tommy. Well, if just have Tommy's there.
Like, if Tommy's in there.
That's fucking. That's
and Luke Brooks Brent next Tate-tier. Year. They could jump Brent Tate's here and go all the way to Goggins if a fully fit Tommy Turbo.
Get out of the buzz fucking tier.
Yeah, they're out of the buzz tier for sure. But Raiders, Sebastian, Chris, White and Fogarty and Wolford. Titans, Brimson, Foran, Boyd and Verrills.
Mm.
And that was even hard because Verrills didn't even really play much of the season. It was more Randall. So do you like that tier? Who would you have?
I think the Titans are, with Brimson, Foran, I think they probably get them up there.
Yeah.
You know, like Boyd's sort of like he's not there. Like Boyd's
underwhelming and Verrills is always injured. Best ability is availability, right?
Yeah, exactly. Gamble and Hastings and Crossland, I don't hate them, but they're just like decent, right? They're just on average. Where Ponga puts you like right at the top because he's a top three player in the world right now.
Yeah, for sure.
There's these other guys are just passengers. Just get on board with the fucking Ponga train.
Where do you think? Let's swap. See, so here's for your argument too, and I'll help you out with this. So swap Ponga and Garrick. Put Ponga with.
Yeah, then the Knights are down the Quasimodo tier.
So that's the next tier, Quasimodo tier.
Yeah, you put Ponga out and you put Ruben Garrick or Sebastian Chris in the Knights.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. Moving on to the Quasimodo tier. Awful. Just awful at the moment. Yeah, a lot to work on. And look, and what he said was right. We've got the Bulldogs down there with the Dolphins, the Dragons and the Tigers. No surprises, mates. They're all down the bottom of the ladder and that's the reason why, because there's still a shitload of work that needs to be done in this tier. So you've got the Dolphins with Hammer, Katoa, O'Sullivan and Jeremy Marshall-King. I think they've got an opportunity to go up. It's just, for me, O'Sullivan's more of a journeyman and Katoa, it depends on how he progresses next year. For the Bulldogs, it was hard between whether you have Avarillo, Perham. I always thought Avarillo was my favourite position for fullback, but he didn't play as much as Perham.
He only played the last 10 games, I think.
So Avarillo, Burton, Sexton and Marnie, because even with Flanagan, I thought Sexton would sort of be the seven moving forward for him because Flano's off to the Dragons. You got Sloan, Amonet, Hunt and Little and Buller, Laurie, Brooks and Uppy. That was, again, you just never got to see that spine as well. A lot of the teams down the bottom are the same. They just couldn't afford to have injuries, right? All of these bottom four teams had injuries in their spine and they just had one, either didn't have the runs on the board as a group yet, together to build that chemistry, and they really need to, and they had so many other positions that outside of the spine, you know, like there's an argument you could have an argument for, like, if you put these spines with the forward pack of the and the outside backs of Penrith
or Brisbane
and maybe they don't go all the way to the top with the talent of the halves there, but maybe they jump to at least the Buzz Rothfield tier or even push the Brent Tate tier.
It's very hard. The product of the game now, it's hard to get a great spine like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to let them stay there and to play good week in, week out, year in, year out. Some of these guys won't even be in first grade next year. You know what I mean? Like they'll struggle to hold a spot. That's how hard it is to be an elite player right now in the NRL, let alone kill it every single week.
Mm.
It's fucking hard.
Especially at that position.
And that's what I go off when positions. I judge like the spine, I'm going off what you've fucking done in your whole career.
Well, let us know in the comments as well with regards to our tiers. Do you see the tiers the same? Do you think we are placed? And do it respectfully as well. We're just having a chat. We're just talking it out. We don't take ourselves too seriously on here, do we, Mace? So let us know in the comments which tiers that you would have in a higher tier, or do you think we got the tiers wrong? Should there be? I think a lot of people might say that there's clear cut one and two compared to what are you?
The next segment, breaking news, Mitchell Pearce has just retired.
Oh, wow. Piercy.
Yeah, we're about to move on.
Great.
Speaking of dogs, he's a dog. So Lukey just hit us with some news. Mitchell Pearce, ex-teammate of both of us, actually I played in the 20s with Mitchy Pearce, has retired, officially retired.
Wow. Good on you, Pearcey.
Good career.
Great career.
There's a obviously beat us in the GF in 2013. Yeah. He has a really good chance of winning a trophy there for the Super League this year with Catalans going pretty good. It's going to be tough, though, to be between them, St. Helens.
How old's Piercy now? How old's Piercy? Is he 33?
Yeah, 33.
Yeah, I'll be 10 years. I've got 10 years on him. Yeah, 33. He's done everything in the game. You know what I don't like is the hate towards him when it comes to
Origin.
You know what I mean? Like, if you had to put him in that Queensland jersey in 2008 and just let him hold the reins there, he would have done a job easily. Mm. Would have been successful as hell. Like, right now you get judged off what you did in Origin when you retire.
Yeah,
was he good in Origin? They don't care if you play 300 games. Did you play Origin? Did you play Test? You know what I mean? And you get judged off Origin harsher than anything. And because he was in those sides where they had fucking arguably one of the greatest sides in rugby league history, mm-hmm. and he was on the other end, he gets judged with that. You give him that green and gold jersey within that time of playing for the Roosters and dominating, he would have done a job for a show easily. But he couldn't get over that fucking bad mouthing that he caught when he wore that blue jersey. So it sucks. He won a competition. He's played at the highest level. We played 20 Origins. He didn't play a test, which is a shame. I think he deserved one in that.
He never played a test.
Nah, in that work that he did. Because you had JT, you had Kronk, you had DCE sort of around there. Yeah. It's like, fuck, where are you going to fit him?
Yeah. Yeah, because even when DC was playing on the bench at Queensland, Queensland was so dominant.
Fucking he just goes, you know, like, and then Kronk was there. Kronk took over for another couple of years, you know. So, like, he missed out on that green and gold jersey, but he achieved everything else. And he's one of the greats in the game.
Yeah.
Fucking great person. And I'm happy for him, man. Hopefully he gets the ride out in the sunset, you know, wins one for
– that'd be nice.
Perpignan? Back here, comes in and fucking – I don't know what he wants to do.
Get into some coaching or something?
Yeah. I think it'd be great.
Good to have the Jew back here in Australia. He's one of the greats. He's a dog. He's a body science dog. So, Mace, your body science dog of the week is one of his ex-teammates as well.
It was hard to choose this one because there was a lot of fucking dogs rolling around on the weekend, especially in that first game, right, with Brisbane v. Storm.
Mm.
Like Payne Haas. Would you play Payne Haas 55, 60 minutes if that's what you're going to get, that destruction?
Yeah. 100%.
Instead of letting him out there for the first 40,
you're
sort of playing within himself a little bit by the back end and you're saving yourself because you're in the middle, right?
Yep.
People don't understand how hard it is to play in the middle and do what you're doing, do what he's doing. It's crazy what him and Tino keep turning out. You play him in the first 25, 30, go fucking crazy, Payne.
Yep.
Bang, destructiveness, offloads, going through the line, all that sort of shit. I would play him like that, 55, 60 minutes, bit of a break, end the game.
I thought,
fuck, he was so much more efficient, man.
I thought Flegler was grouse as well.
He's unreal, Flegler. It was heaps. I can't go through them all, but
yeah.
I went for the game that I thought was the toughest game of them all. I think the Sharks and the Roosters, right? So I think we had a good discussion about this, and he did make a few mistakes. He did do a couple of things, but he did a couple of things which won him the fucking game.
Yep.
James Tedesco, that charge down, that was going over. Now, it would have went to extra time. Who knows what could have happened? But 19 runs, 210 metres, 48 post-contact metres, 7 tackle breaks, one line break, and a charge down. That's inspirational. Now, I said this last week. Yep. They'll need something from a Tedesco to get this game.
You did say that.
Fucking because, you know, the Sharks are like, they'll bore the shit out of you, get to their kick, beat the crap out of you, and they did that. They fucking lost Suwili'i, Joey Manu. Like, the leadership, that just went bang, straight off. Now they've got Billy Cross who's out. You know, broke his jaw. Billy Cross.
Who's Billy Cross? Where's he ringing bell?
He's around the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was outstanding, and they need that again.
Yeah.
I think they're limping into this game.
I was calling this game on SEN as well. It's for sure the most juice I've seen in probably since, I think, probably Origin 3.
Mm.
They had a really good performance against the Titans, but it was the Titans, and everyone was blowing them off the park in that game. But I thought he played with a lot of energy. He sort of wheeled them back in, you know, some of those kick returns and their best set of the game. They're under the pump for a bit, and then they had, you know, three or four back five carries coming out of yardage, and it was just before it led to point. So, he was grouse. I thought a guy in Penrith just absolutely put on a clinic with the Penrith Panthers, though.
I agree.
He's the prince for a reason. Nathan Cleary is my dog of the week. One try assist, but realistically, probably two or three try assists. Mm. You know, he was the second to last pass. 33 involvements. I'm not even going to put runs because he just carries the ball so much and, you know, distributes that. He
had
194 meters, 5 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks, 2 line break assists, 3 offloads, and the beauty of Nath and what they're doing at Penrith and the lack of egos that are in this team. Mm. So last week, I really believe that he let Cogger build into the game. He let Cogger have the first half. I feel like he played second fiddle. Normally he's Batman, Drones, Robin, and it works perfectly together. He let Cogger get his hands on the ball and have some really nice shape, and Cogger put on a couple of tries. This one, this time it's week one of the finals. Mm. This is he's the captain. This is his team. If they're going to go through and have the week off and go to a prelim final, it's all about him. And I thought he took over, and you could just tell from, you know, the early carries that he had, whether it's the before the Toto try when he drifts across field, offloads the ball. Moses Leota tips it on, finds Brian Toto for the first try. He just wanted it, and he even showed it all the way to the 70th minute, I think, before he scored his try, drifting across field and taking on the defensive line when they were retreating. He's also in the top five for most points in finals NRL history.
Fucking already.
At 25. So number one, the GOAT, Cameron Smith. Number two, Adam Reynolds. Number three, Mick Cronin, the Parramatta Eels great, who had played in multiple grand finals himself during the early 80s and mid-80s. The Wombat, Graham Eady from Manly during their dominance, 80s, 90s, or I think it was 70s, late 70s, 80s for them. And then Nath Cleary is number five right now.
That is the closest. Remember they used to have Rugby League Week and they used to rate you out of 10? That's the closest I've seen to a 10 for ages.
Yeah.
I think Andrew John's got a 10 and I think JT's got a 10. And maybe Cooper Cronk. I don't know, but like that's the closest I've seen for a while.
Yeah.
Closest I've seen. In that, you got to think, this is a fucking semi-final. It's only a club game.
Yeah. And
the Warriors are up for it.
I know. Yeah, you're right. I know they're missing Shawnee, and I think a lot of the times you like to go the more competitive games. Yeah, but
I love
for
this.
For me, the reason that they won so comfortably is because of him. I know there was a couple of other good performances that we'll get to, but I just thought
he was outstanding.
He's my body science dog of the week. All right, let's move on to that game. Once Panthers won, Jerome Luai had one of the he's one of the best Instagram posters of all time.
What did he do?
So the Panthers apologised to the Warriors is the story. The Penrith Panthers have apologised and deleted a controversial social media post after the team's 32-6 win over the Warriors. Injured Panthers star Jerome Luai first twisted the knife in cheeky fashion after Penrith's demolition job at Bluebet Stadium, posting the result up on his Instagram, up the pars.
Oh, I saw it. Is that what they're making a big deal out of?
A reference to the popular catchphrase has swept the rugby league world since the resurgence of the Warriors. Up the wars. I've spoken to the Warriors. Where's it gone? I've spoken to the Warriors and issued an apology on behalf of the club, Panthers CEO Matt Cameron told the Herald. We apologise for any offence caused as a result of our post. It has since been taken down. Why are they apologising for?
I didn't see. So I look at this shit and I don't really read into it that much. I'm like, that's not a big deal to me.
It's not a big deal.
Why are you taking it down?
I love Matty Cameron. Matty Cameron's done a great job out there. I don't know where, if it's his decision or someone else, whether it's the media team. So the media team reposted up the pars with the scoreline on it.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious.
It's fucking fun. It's fun.
The reason I enjoy the Warriors content is because it's cheeky.
Yes.
They can have a bit of fun. They're creative. It's creative.
Mm.
We are living in the softest fucking world now. When I don't know, they posted this and they must have just got a few Warriors fans or NRL fans.
They just can't deal with anything, right? I'll just take it down. Get fucked.
Leave it up. Up the fucking pass.
Whatever. It's fucking room enough.
Yeah, it's a giggle. And Drome, I thought Drome's post straight after, because I went on it. I sent his Instagram straight after, and that's a fucking giggle. Went on with my day.
Not even playing, still getting it.
There must have been a shitload of comments that were on the post. I didn't get a chance to have a look at them. I don't care. It doesn't bother me to.
I didn't think they'd do this.
I really don't. I think this is again the world we live in, like the cancel culture fucking world.
Yeah, that's awful.
And this is one of the worst.
This is awful.
Like representations of it as well that people have complained enough that Penrith had to take this down, because that is some really just good, funny.
Isn't it?
It's submitting. It's
just fucking not weak. To deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's weak.
Think sometimes just like, fuck, I'll take it down. Shut up.
But you know the thing too with the Penrith Panthers, like, is it, they're trying to save face and not offend anyone. Why do you care anyway? No one likes the Panthers.
Mm.
They're the team that everyone hates.
Yeah, because you're killing it.
You better, exactly.
Build this culture. Let these kids thrive in it.
Do what Jerome does. Yeah. Fucking thrive in it. Go even harder. fucking Fisher Harris and the double celebrations
down.
Last
double
year.
Double down on it, boys.
Double down. don't try to be
you're
like.
You're going to be up there forever. You might as well fucking live it out.
No one's going to like him anyway. Any of the other teams or any of the other fans, they all hate Penrith.
Just makes more news by taking the shit down, yeah. Right? Yeah. Why are we fucking even talking about it? If you hadn't taken it down, it would have been fucking yesterday's
I
news.
Wouldn't even fucking no one cares. Brought it up at all. Maybe in the review I said, oh, I see the up the bars. That was giggle. And then we would have just moved on. I don't know. Soft natured fucking society we live in. Up the fucking pass.
Yeah, well.
Hang on. From a social media, there's so many teams that beat the Bulldogs and said, let's trot as the caption.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So Lukey is just saying as well, there were so many teams that beat the Bulldogs this year and hit them with the let's trot.
Yeah.
So, like.
We didn't take it down. They didn't take it down.
It's funny. That's why. Yeah. It's fucking good. Like, if there's, you know, whether. I'm a big fan of American sports.
Yes.
Mate, their social media teams in NFL and NBA are fucking grouse, specifically when they're division rivals.
Yeah.
So, like, you remember last year when Russell Wilson was doing the let's ride.
Yeah.
Broncos country, let's ride. And then all the other fucking teams started doing it back to him. Like, you want to – like
fucking fair play.
It is. It's six again.
Yeah, I don't know whose call it was to do that.
Also, speaking of calls, I'm calling for the NRL to change the formats of finals moving forward. So,
what are you thinking? What's your ideas?
All right, I'm calling the game Sharks versus Roosters at SEN. I'm looking at the atmosphere, the vibe, the energy at the stadium with 12,557 people at PointsBet. And I'm just like, I woke up that morning and I watched the Rugby World. This is when it hit me right on Saturday. And as a player, if you're an ex-player or the team or a CEO, for sure, there's no way you want to give away home advantage if you've got it in the new system. But the NRL have to take that decision away from them. So my proposal, right? So let's look at the attendance for the NRL finals, both week one finals. Broncos versus Storm, grouse. Suncorp, 50,000. Panthers versus Warriors, still a good atmosphere out there, but 21,525. Sharks versus Roosters got 12,500. The Knights and Raiders was fucking Mickey. Nearly 30,000, 29,548. As for AFL, they had the Magpies versus the Ds. They had 92,000 at the MCG.
Jesus.
They had Carlton and Sydney that got 91,000. GWS and St Kilda. And that was a GWS home game.
60.
And the MCG still got 68,000. And then Brizzy played Port Adelaide at the Gabba and got 36,000. When I look at those attendances, and yeah, AFL get those attendances for games consistently way more than we do at the NRL. But I think finals are a different breed. And I think more fans would either travel or attend games for finals just because, you know, you watch the games like the Sharks Roosters game or the Knights Raiders, the energy was just
crazy,
electric, right? And, you know, majority, that's as many as we can get in there. So I think the Knights McDonald's Jones Stadium I think their capacity is 30K. I think 30K should be the absolute minimum for a finals game.
Yeah.
So if your stadium does not, and I'm ruling out as a Manly fan, Brookie, definitely fucking points bet with fucking 12,000. That's disgusting. Panthers, nah. Any team that, you know, fucking
Tigers.
This is where the Panthers Warriors game. Bluebet, they don't carry enough right now. The atmosphere was right, so that game should have been at CommBank.
Yep.
I believe the Sharks-Roosters game also should have been either at CommBank or a different scenario. Here's what they could have done. You're still not going to pack out a core stadium, and this is – I've got to give a shout-out to Missile too. He brought this one out, James Magnuson. But both games were on Saturday. How about doing a double header? Panthers versus Warriors into Sharks versus Roosters at a core stadium and get 83,000 there.
Or Allianz.
And pack it out. Or even Allianz at 45K. The Roosters, because it's got to stay neutral. So the neutral part of it. So if you did end up moving the Sharks-Roosters game, don't move it to Allianz. For that reason, move to CommBank as an option. And then for the Warriors game, I know they're going back and playing at Mount Smart this week, but they'll sell those tickets out. Go whatever the new stadium is. Go to Eden Park and give the fans because I guarantee they'll get 50K.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Turn up. So,
like, PVL needs to come over the top. And just
he
go,
has to come over
this
the top.
This is mandatory now.
Now, so
they're the rules.
So the problem with it as well is with the NRL, then they've got to split the revenue, yeah. I believe, as well. So split the revenue so you can get half to the club. So if you do play at a core stadium, right, like just say if you think back to what's a good example? But, like, even – like, just say the prelim for the Bulldogs Parramatta 09, yeah. Remember that? 83,000.
Yeah.
You get those sorts of games and split it with the between the two teams in the NRL.
But I just think, you know, when it comes – when it's around like this, right, and you know the like exactly how it is, the Sharks are playing there at PointsBet and there's some other things like BlueBet Stadium.
Yep.
That's when they need to come in over the top. And go,
yes.
But if you make it the rules right, like right now for next year
– yep.
You take it out of the fucking the club's hands, right?
Yes.
You're like, yeah, okay, first semi, Cronulla's got the first semi, but you have to play it at CommBank or Allianz, yeah. Whatever you want. If you're not playing the Roosters, they would have taken it to Allianz, I reckon.
Yes, and it didn't make sense to take it to Allianz. That's why I gave the other option of at least CommBank.
Yeah, I think you should have the option. Get out of like your fucking 20,000.
Yep. The floor's at least got to be 30K for a stadium because not you'd like to think Sharks and Roosters could have got 30,000 to CommBank to watch that game for sure. And same with the Panthers and Warriors.
Maximum at CommBank 32.
CommBank's 30.
Yeah, okay.
30K. Perfect. Yeah, this is what I got here. So
especially for the first round of semis.
And I really think so. The way you give an advantage to the team that's finished above or would have had that advantage as well. So the members of the Panthers and Sharks get first dibs at the tickets becoming available for 24 hours, and then everyone else gets them after that.
Yeah, so if you're the Knights were struggling a bit, the members.
Yeah. So if you're a Knights member, a Panthers member, Broncos, Sharks, the first 24 hours, you get first dibs at getting the tickets. So even if it is a neutral ground, you get the majority. And then if you don't account for them, right, just say we move the Panthers versus Warriors game to Allianz where you could have 45K, I guarantee about 10,000, 15,000 Warriors fans would have turned up to watch that game. And you would have got another 30,000 Penrith Panthers fans.
I agree. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I wonder if they sit down and actually have these discussions.
I'd imagine they do, but there'll be a lot of pushback from the clubs.
Especially after this round here, the amount of money that they've lost.
Yeah. And
it's a business. Remember that?
Yeah. And when you look at Saturday morning, I'm watching the Rugby World Cup, which was the France versus – it was the All Blacks versus France, but we've got to be doing better. We've got to be filling bigger stadiums.
We've got to take it out of the hands of the clubs, right? They're not individually owned by owners. You're not going to get any kickback. It's not like you own the Cowboys and the Packers. It's not NFL.
Yeah.
You're going to fucking rule. The NRL probably owns half these teams. You know what I mean? True. So they can come in and say, this is what's happening. These are the rules.
Well, they should just come over the top anyway.
That's what I'm saying. But they should. They, you know, obviously give them the respect, say, this is what we think you should do, but this is what we're going
to
do.
Yep. All right, let's get to the reviewing of the games, eh? Kicking off with Broncos versus Storm on Friday night. Broncos 26-0, an absolute flex, Mace. Not only the Storm, I wrote down, but and even with the hoodoo as well, I think this is a statement to more so the Panthers than anyone else.
You reckon?
There was a question marks with regards to the hoodoo going in the game with the Storm, but not only did they answered it in such a fashion that I think it just really sends a statement. Have you got the games up? You got them?
No, I can't get it.
You got it up? So, do you think it was a statement game, obviously, from the Broncos?
Far out. What a statement. I mean, I know the Storm were off. The Storm were off. Just their spine was way off. Even Money said that. Jerome Hughes, you know, Harry Grant. But, like, fuck, the Broncos look clinical, man.
They forced them off.
Yeah, like, yes. Their defense was fucking crazy.
Super physical.
Yeah. Fucking Flegler, Carrigan, Payne Haas. They're fucking hitters, man.
You know what I've been really impressed by is they haven't been close to our dogs of the week because their stats don't align with it, but Jordan Rickey and Kurt Capewell, they lead
kick chase
and line speed is fucking unbelievable. And they really what they do is they set the edge like an NFL team. And then what happens when a defensive end sets the edge in the NFL, the running back's got to run straight back through the middle through the big boys. And then you're running into fucking Flegler. You're running into Carrigan.
What they do brilliant and the good teams are doing brilliant, right? So people at home, you see the numbers line, you see that dash, like those lines outside, and then you see the lines inside, right? So what they try and do is land on the line inside so you can have a 6-4 split, right? Yep. You want six on the long side. You want four on the short side. So guys like Walsh will sit behind the play the ball so that it could be a 6-5 split and then you go the long side. Mm. I mean a 5-5 split. You know what I mean? Just in that little, that fucking area right on those dash lines, right?
Yep.
That's where everyone, every player tries to get at when you're having a shot. Because after when they get there, they settle it down, then you have that long shot. Trying depending on what they have on the short side. And when you have Walsh around the side there and then the right side, you have Ricky running those beautiful lines, tip, tip out the back, and then it's up to the ball player, Ezra Mam or something like that, to either hit the front guy because Ricky runs those fucking brilliant lines. And most good clubs do it. We'll go through most of them.
Yep.
And he hits the outside in line and the three man has to make a decision.
Yeah.
And that's what happened when we go through the Storm. Fucked it.
Yeah.
Because the Tom and Mapia kept coming up. He kept coming up trying to smash Walsh or he was going out. He was in no man's land.
He had a rough day, didn't he?
Yeah, about three times. And they just kept going and going. They kept going down their left edge and they just fucking looked clinical because of the ball playing skills and because of Walsh's timing off everything.
Yeah.
He fucking scares the shit out of you because he would just run straight through you. So when they hit that Ricky for that try and then they hit out the back to Walsh and that try.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking play.
Yeah.
It's the ball
just
playing.
Just a slight variation.
And they, I mean, when the beautiful camera angle from Channel 9, when they're right back here and you look at the motion, fucking, then you can see what Tom and P has got to deal with.
Mm. They love to get to the and left edge. Yeah, they sit Ezra Manby on the short side.
So
and
good.
He sometimes just sits there with Capewell and Herbie Farmworth.
Yeah.
And if they're, if they don't number up down the short side, then those four guys can easily take it if it's there to be had. But if not, they come back with that nice shape where it's Carrigan. I think Flegley jumped in the first receiver a couple of times and they just got some early ball to Katoni for the first try. Then they went to early ball to Walshy. He darts through. Next time they go a little bit earlier, he squares up and hits Jordan Ricky.
Yeah.
It's
fucking hard to stop.
Yeah, very hard.
I'm glad that Channel 9 have got those cameras right there so they can show people at home. I could do that. Bro, they are flying. Yeah. Walsh is flying. Ricky is flying. It's a 20-meter fucking run-up, 20 or 30. Walsh has got more. So when you see these fullbacks in that motion, it's a 50-meter sprint for some of these guys because they've got to show what they're doing on the left side and then just slowly creep around as soon as the play the ball goes and then fucking they're off.
Do you know the hard thing about that edge too, like that we're talking about as you're talking about it, is that most teams predominantly go right to left.
Mm.
And because they're coming left to right, you come up against Munster, who's a really good defender three-man in, but they've just got consistent shape in and around him and Tottenham Papier, and they probably don't see it as relentlessly
and it's,
in
it's
a game hard, 80 minutes.
It's hard for – it's good what Flegler and Carrigan are doing because when they're catching the ball first, it takes – they're passing at the perfect time, right? If you take one more step into the line and you got Andrew Johns out the back, he will fucking throw – everything at you.
Yep.
Fucking quick ball. It's all communication from that little bit there.
Yep.
Carrigan catches the ball, bang, straight at the back, gives time for him to run, then the lead, and then out the back. So he needs to see a lot of things. If Carrigan goes in too far, then the C defender will come up, read the lead on Flegler and fucking get it the guy at the back. That's what middles are trained to
and
do.
And you can't go too early.
And you can't go too early because they come up and slide off you. So you got to engage B and C, and the fucking lead runner has to be genuine at the fucking four-man and the three-man, and then it all happens. So those it starts from that, and it starts from a fucking beautiful ball from Walters all the way. Everything's clinical. You can't fucking stop it.
Yeah.
You cannot stop it.
If
something's got to happen defensively, you've got to make a play or something like that. But fucking good luck trying to stop that shit. And then you've got Stags and you've got fucking everyone else out there. It's awful.
So even if you do just eventually get some early ball like they did, then you've just got – if you've got guys one-on-one, they can just make a play.
Yeah, like Katoni Stags. They read Stags.
He's in good form.
Bang. He's killing it, man.
He's in such good form at the moment. Two reasons I picked the Storm. One was the spine, and I think – Wren was easily the best player on the field. I think he had it on a string. And two was I thought the Storm's bench was going to have an impact. Now, Nels was good coming off the bench, but he didn't have much help, man. And I writ down Keenan Palacia and Hetherington had it. Palacia had 150. And
45
Hetherington had 140 metres. And plus, when they hit defensively, they stay hit too.
Mm.
They're a little bit different.
Hetherington hits. He's a fucking hitter.
Hetherington's grouse.
Palacia hits. They're good defenders.
I think
you're a big destructive human, like big Nas, big nasty. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder what you go into games, and I want to see Nas go through the line. I don't want to see ball playing because I think it's a different mindset. When you're trying to ball play, you're trying to do offloads. It's a different mindset. When you think through the fucking line, big nasty, then you see bodies fly.
Mm.
That's the mindset that he needs to have in these next games.
Yeah, I think he did. I thought he was good.
But sometimes at the end, he's trying to step around too much. I just want him, seriously, that guy is the biggest motherfucker in the comp, and no one can touch him one-on-one.
Yeah.
No one. And he's fast and he's got good footwork. Make one move, catch, boom, come off your right, all that, and then just fucking leave him in your way. Because no one can touch him, man.
He needs some help, though.
He needs a little bit of help, but he can turn a game on his head. But he can't do it by himself, right? Yeah. But, like, it's just what – I always look at big ball runners, right? What mindset do they have before a game?
Hmm.
You got to think it through the line. I just want to see him, like, go in between players. Spaces, not faces.
Yeah.
And just go bang and see. Those other two dudes need to make a decision on you right there. Collision. How many collisions you see in the game?
Yeah.
You know, like, and he's – where's your target zone with him? Is it hips? You fucking get yourself knocked out. Is it up here? Get yourself knocked out. He's a fucking very hard person to bring down. But if he needs to think in between spaces, not faces, and leg drive.
Yep.
And shit will happen after that. The offloads will come when they're just fucking hanging on on the back of your legs. This way, support inside and out of him. They're going to game plan for him. They'll try and get him fucked up at marker all the time. Most of good teams get him fatigued so he's not fucking off the back fence. You aren't big nasty off the back fence.
No.
And he can change your game.
Yeah. Also, I just want to mention thoughts and best wishes to Pappy. He actually had surgery, so it was first reported that it could have been a compound fracture. And it didn't look great. And I know shout out to Fox and Nine. I was watching it on Nine. Same. Apparently, Fox were the same. They didn't zoom in on it too. You know, in these sorts of situations, you can tell really from the reactions of players around him. I looked at Munster and Ricky and they both had one look and quickly looked away. So his surgery went well this morning. At this stage, we expect him back at training in the new year and we're focused on ensuring he's getting the right care. That's from Frank Panisi a couple of days ago after he had surgery. So all the best with recovery, Pappy. He's worked so hard to get back. He's still young enough, mate. You've still got plenty of fight.
Mm.
It'll be super frustrating. You're going to have naysayers for sure now. You're going to have people doubting you.
Let that drive you, mate.
Keep driving, keep fighting, get back. And just glad it's not the compound fracture because that's Jarrell Yeo-Yeo territory. He obviously had to retire through it. So
I think he's strong enough as a person, Pappy, and he puts things in perspective as well.
Yep.
I think he's a pretty spiritual sort of fella as well. So
he's a deep thinker, Pap.
I don't know him personally enough. I've seen some takes, and he thinks outside the square.
Yeah.
So it's good to have that sort of mindset where he's not flat out footy, little bubble, NRL bubble, doesn't understand how to get out of it. He can get out of it. And he's got the drive and he's got still too young. He's still young enough. He ain't 30 plus. You know, he's still in his...
I think he'd be about 26, 27, Pappy.
Yeah, that's the prime. That's his prime. So just get back mentally, physically, spiritually, anything you can do.
Yeah.
It's just awful seeing fucking kids like that. 13 months out, play 3 or 4. 25?
25. Oh, 25. Oh, he's got plenty. Paps is sweet.
So nice much, you know, like pressure on him and... All right. Shit like that happens.
Moving on to the Storm up this week. What changes are you making, force or due to injury? So the big one is Pappy is obviously out. Xavier Coates didn't finish the game. Yeah, I think he had a high ankle sprain and he's had history with that. And also Marian Seva and Trent Liero had that collision at the end where both had to leave the field at the back end of the game. We mentioned Young Tonomapei before. When I was watching that game, on the weekend, I was sitting back going,
You know who ain't hitting those holes when someone's there?
Well, he still might be hitting it, but the result might be different.
You're not hitting it with that gusto. You aren't. I'm just saying, if you got that dude right there, you know he's the best hitter in those lines.
Yeah.
When you got a center who's like, I'm telling you, when I've hit holes like that before, if a center ain't, if fucking Stevie Maddow was there, fucking early ball. Early ball so I can do a little bit of footwork.
You
ain't hitting it like Ricky's hitting it.
No.
You know, and that's a presence that he has.
Yeah.
And it's like, Tonomapei, no disrespect, he doesn't have it.
A lot of people don't.
Not centers, mate. Stevie Maddai, even Nigel Vungana had it for a little bit.
Yep.
Like the blokes who sit there and they want you to fucking go there
They'll give it to you. Show it to you.
Yeah, not even say a word either. Just fucking look at you.
Yeah.
Not even say anything. Hit you. You know what I mean? You got a Georgie Tafur on the wing, like next to him. It's like fucking, you got to go through the gauntlet.
It was the best.
And you better catch and watch your ribs. Yeah. And that's the little bit of fucking doubt that they don't have against the Storm anymore.
Well, I'm trying to figure out like what's happened. I've watched Storm games all year. I know there were moments where Juzzy Olsen didn't play.
What has he done wrong? I'm like, dude.
Geez, he must have fallen out of favour so badly.
Yeah, and I was like, is this a personal thing now?
Tonomapei
is he fucked up like off the field where it's like, I'm not saying anything happened, but like this is what it looks like.
That's what you start thinking, right?
I'm like, why? Because this dude's one of the best defenders in the game still.
Yeah.
And why should he be playing reserve grade?
Mm.
Because I know for a fact you ain't hitting those holes.
No with way.
So much you're free. Right. You're you think right. Ricky thought he was going to score most of the time. He was running those lines like he's fucking. He did not care who was in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You care when the four is usually there.
And he's hitting the fucking poo cunners after it. He ain't poo cunning if, respectfully, if Juzzy Ollam's there.
Yeah, Juzzy's going to break your ribs. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's the missing link there, man.
So Pappy's off the bench now, and they had that floating 14 who could play multiple positions. Mm. We only played one game, so Farlongo.
Yeah, fucking straight in.
Did you see enough from the kid to say he's straight ready for in. A finals game?
Fucking straight in.
Yeah, same.
I reckon last week after that performance, they're like, can we put him in somewhere?
Mm.
Yeah, we fucking can now.
Now we can.
Because and without any backlash.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see what he's got. Because imagine that, like one game, X Factor. They're playing a Roosters team that's also depleted and got a heap of injuries. So
Storm should fucking.
They should be able to bounce back, and they have every time they've had a poor performance this year. The Storm, they've had about two or three uncharacteristic Storm performances. They've always bounced back well the next.
This is a game where Munster and Grant goes, and Jerome Hughes like, come with me.
Yep. All right, moving on to the Pars versus the Wires. The Pars won 32-6. Penrith watched Brisbane the night before and went, you know what?
I'll double down on that shit. Oof. That was clinical, bro. Mm. I never thought, like, I think the Broncos and Penrith are the best two teams in the comp, right?
Yep.
And they should, in the perfect world, go to the grand final.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, games like this, I was like, fuck, the Warriors, they're in it. Like, their energy was on point.
Bad crack.
Apart from... Just a little bit of icing at the end.
Yeah.
Sean Johnson.
Fifth tackles.
Yeah. I mixed up the thing with Dylan Walker coming off the bench, the energy that he brings. You start him, it goes automatically down. Yep. So you miss that energy right off. But they were up. They were up for this game. They just got beat by a fucking ridiculous side.
They were just out-talented.
Yes. And fucking no, I don't know what happened. I'm like, this don't deserve to be 32-6.
I know that's not a word, out-talented.
Yeah, but well, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You get
the point. I know what you're talking about. But, and I'm like, wow, I didn't think. Like the
what is it?
Cleary.
Outclassed.
Out-talented sounds way smarter.
Out-talented is way better.
Yeah, they just went, you know what, Bronx? I see that.
Yeah.
And we're going to give it to the Wars now.
Warriors,
I mean.
Yeah, you're on the Wars.
Got me slipping.
Yeah, you're slipping on the Wars. Critter's on fire at the moment. Yeah, man. I would say
fucking amazing, eh?
Critter, he'd be up for player of the month maybe last 2 months. Actually, he can go on the way back to his form leading into – for the finals. Like, I always seen Critter as like an X Factor player, like just a really nice complimentary piece.
Because that's how they brought him into the game, coming off the bench for 20 years. He was like X Factor. So that was the narrative with him.
Yeah, but even like the last 2 years when he's been a starter, where he's played on the wing, he's played centres, I always just thought Critter's nice, but he's not like, I always thought like he's a clutch player. And there's a difference between being like a gun, elite, being clutch or X Factor, you know? Yeah. They're all like sort of different meanings. And I just think he's got class. He's obviously clutch because he comes up with big moments at big times, we don't have to go through that again. I reckon the wingers from Penrith will be going scissors, paper, rock to see who gets him as their centre every week because he's so versatile that he swaps from left to right. And whoever – Taruva wasn't scoring tries.
No.
For fucking – it felt like 4 or 5 weeks. You had Tyron Peachy inside him. I think Hoskins played maybe a game or two. Critter goes over to the left. He scored fucking a try last week, 2 tries this week. And
proper
nice,
class.
Silky, soft hands that he's got. It's as good as it gets.
He's got everything, man. It's probably the best centre in the game. Him and Katoni Staggs. So I'm picking an Australian team or a New South Wales team. They're both my centres at the moment.
Yeah.
Katoni on the right. Fucking Critter on the left.
Yeah. So who crazy. Played who played centers with them this year? So Turbo, yeah, Turbo.
Yeah, Turbo's
and,
there.
Turbo and Trell play representative footy, but yeah.
You're playing them right now.
I've got one for you. I don't think Jerome's required for the prelim. So even if he is 80-20, 90-10, fuck it. Even if he's 100%.
I'm wrestling all the way to the grand final.
Just play him, save him for the Broncos. You don't think he needs to get a rep, like a game in before the grand final?
Not this time of the year. He played most of the Origin series. Played every game pretty much.
Two grand finals already.
You're not really going. Oh, we need you for match fitness or something like that. Mm. He just the amount of work that he would be getting done at training, right, with that Penrith side, it'd be fucking just as hard.
Yeah,
and he's got to go through his like
the rehab.
The medical, man.
Yeah.
you think that fucking big Fisher Harris and Leota aren't going to be running straight at his shoulder. So it's like, you know, because what do you do? You're not going to go out there and just think, oh, what if you're going to be put in this position? He's going to be put in that position.
Yeah. Yeah, you need the big boys running at you just like you'd be getting Payne Haas, Carrigan, Flegler in the GF. Yeah, I'm with you.
How long would that be when he gets to GF? 6 weeks?
Five? He did it in round 26, didn't he, against Parramatta. So, then they played round 27 against Cowboys that he missed. Week one, he's just missed this. They'll have the week off. It'll be the fifth week.
Okay.
It'll be the fifth week for a AC, like a dislocated shoulder. Is that enough time to repair, do you think,
I don't know. The dislocation's the one that fucks you.
I've got Broncos winning the comp, and I really like the Broncos to win the comp with the way the teams are constructed right now, if no injuries. But if he comes back, I think it's more of 50-50 than I do. I think it's more 60-40 for me right now, Broncos over Penrith. Six times out of 10, I think Broncos beat Penrith in the grand final constructed right now. But if he's back, I think it goes back
more to 50-50. Yeah. But it depends.
And Cogger's been great.
Who's right side? Yeah, so Ricky's going to be at him all game. That side is hard. Katani. They go at that side, man.
Ricky and Katani. Yeah. That's their most dominant side.
Yeah. So that's the thing, what they've got to go up against in the grand final. Cogger's defense is pretty good, man.
Yeah. What about for next year? I was just thinking about next year when I was watching Taruva kill it, Brian Toto on the other side, Taylor Mays, Gunn as well. So next year, one of them is going to have to play centres, right? Who do you reckon plays centres? Do you reckon Taruva?
Nah, winger.
Do you reckon Taylor Mays?
Fijian, wing straight away. Taylor Mays, centre.
All gun wingers, eh?
Yeah, Fijians. Just gun wingers. I think Taylor Mays is slotting the centres. You've got the kid that's there now, Tongo.
Yeah, Tungo one centre, but Stephen Crichton's moving on. So someone's got to take.
Yeah, I think Taylor May's got a fucking. He's a gun.
I reckon Taruva will go centres, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got a fullback background. I think he's got those nice soft hands as well. I think he might be a candidate to move in the centres.
Yeah, right.
What about the Warriors? They sweet. They bounce back. They've got the Knights this week. This is going to be a tough game.
It's going to be hard.
Especially if they don't have Shawnee. I know it looks like Knights will be missing Jackson Hastings at least and a couple more. Potentially, I think Fitzgibbon had his. Shoulder busted at the end of the game as well. Are they sweet to bounce? But they just played the best team in the comp or second equal best team.
What do you think of SJ? Is he a 50-50 this week? Could he have played last week? But like, fuck it, you know, you're playing against Penrith, you're probably going to lose anyway.
That
sort of mentality.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'll go play in New Zealand, put the whole fucking country on my back, and
so you tweak. Willie Mason, you put your. Not to say that I don't have any information regarding Sean Johnson at all, but if you're Willie Mason, but unlike Tyson Gamble said, this time you're in the halves and you're one of the best halves in the game. You're playing Penrith at Penrith, you tweak your calf, you're probably about 80-20.
And you 90. Know if you play, you are going to bust it.
Yeah. And there's a very high chance that you could bust it. Or if it's a grand final, you play, but you know, you give yourself an extra week, you come back home, and then you give yourself a chance out of the winner of Canberra versus Knights. Canberra versus the Knights for the following week.
I think
week.
It's a smart play if Johnson's thought that, because he's thinking about the team first, right? If he goes out there, you lose him straight away. Mentally, you're just like, you know, against Penrith, you're like, you know, like, fuck, players are looking at you going, oh, fuck, he's done for the season.
Yeah.
There's no like, but we had next week regardless, right?
Yeah.
There's only a few in this position right now. You'd be thinking, got next week, I could probably get to about 70%. I can get around the field, march them around, get the kicks on, because that's all they missed. And a little bit of attack near the line.
A little bit of polish.
Just real constructive ends of sets.
Yep.
And that's what they missed. So he probably, that would have been in the back of his head. And I reckon he would probably play this week. And
he looked like he was – he's did a few interviews. He looked relaxed. He looked calm. I was just judging body language.
So just say if he was like, just say 60%, 70% this week, and you know you can get to like, just say 80 this week.
This week?
I'm fucking going, all right, team first.
This week you do or die.
Yeah, but I'm putting the team first instead of me going out against Penrith and just fucking maybe hurting it and I'll be out for the whole year. That's not putting the club first. I think he's made a fucking brave decision.
Do you think
he's got to play this week?
Yeah, we'll get to that game. We'll get all more information for the Warriors moving forward for the Knights as well. But top two teams, very dominant. Melbourne Storm Warriors, despite home finals for this week, got a big task taking on the next two teams. Sharks versus Roosters. The Roosters win a nail-biter. Sam Walker field goal. The Roosters win 13-12. The skill level wasn't the best in this game, Mace, but you could feel the nervous energy that's in an elimination final.
Mm-hmm.
I also wrote down and was thinking when I was watching this game, these are the ones like you remember.
Yeah.
A part of that Roosters team. Yeah. Joseph Manu does his hammy. Yeah.
They mightn't win the grand final this year, but they fucking had a good crack. Because you got to think 6 weeks ago where they were.
Yeah. Yeah,
now
sure.
They get to the second round of the playoffs.
They've
it's
got
fucking amazing.
Swali'i goes down. Siwa Wong moves to the centres. Angus Crichton moves to the centres. Junior Paunga moves from the left wing to the right wing. Billy Smith goes from centre to wing. Everything amazing. That could go wrong basically did go wrong for him. And then even Teddy gets sent for 10. And Sandon Smith goes and plays fullback for a bit, and they still find a way to win this game. I reckon these are the sort of games when you're retired. Like, yeah, they're big games. Like, you've got Origins, and you've got NRL Grand Finals to your name. But like, just for your average middle tier player like me, if you be a part of these sorts of games, you remember I told you what one of my favourite games was when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the Anzac game that we played.
Yeah.
And we were last first. Like, really just. Those games where you fucking just man up next to each other and you fucking find a way to get this job done.
You need against Cronulla. I think they're like, fuck, we're down on troops, especially if Hargrave's been out.
Yep.
It's like, who's going to take it? Who's going to take it to the next level? Like, you know, Joey Manu played. He looked sharp at the start, Joey Manu, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did. But you could sell straight away. Yeah. He's done it proper.
Yeah, when someone stops tackling you.
Yep.
And pulls
Wade
out.
Wade
you're like,
out of it.
Fuck. They've limped into the finals. They've massive effort getting here, and then this game here would have been huge for some of these players. Would be probably their career highlight.
Could be, yeah.
You know,
there's some journeyman type players in this
like
team.
Billy Smith, that would have been massive for that kid.
Mm.
3 years of ACLs, and then comes out there, has a great year. Now his jaw's broken.
Yeah,
that's fucked.
No Manu, no Swali'i, no Billy Smith this week. He played on with a broken jaw.
He's tough, bro.
He would have broke his jaw in that whose collision was it? Was it Toby Rudolph on top of him? And it looked like he was concussed. Looked like it was HIA. Yeah. But fuck him.
What do you think of Cronulla's performance?
I've got at the end we can do the season review Sharks and do a pass.
But just that one game. When you got all in and you got a team that like the Roosters who have limped in. And you couldn't put the sword to them.
It's the reason I was sort of down on the Sharks all year. They're missing another player. They're missing another X factor player. And whether that is, I think it's a ball playing middle.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, I think they're missing, and they're very hard to find. I know, like
even Finucane too. Sorry, he's the amount of work he gets through. He can ball play a little bit, but he can fucking tough it out, make 50 tackles and not even complain, play 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the bench gets a little bit stronger.
Braden Hamlueli was a big loss
too
before the game. And then you miss Finucane. Yeah, I just think they're missing because they've got that real nice shot for block for block shape that they do from edge to edge. So whether Braden Trindle goes on to be that guy or – I know middle thirds are hard to find that can play the Paddy Carrigan,
Isaiah Yeo
role, but they've got to try to find the next Jermaine Hopgood.
Mm.
Jermaine Hopgood was at Penrith and he was behind Isaiah Yeo, so he's never going to play consistent 13 minutes.
Mm.
And he doesn't have like a real grouse pre-line like forward shape that
Matt,
most
offload,
of them.
But hey, hop good.
He's got a nice little pre-line. He's got a nice little offload. He punches. He uses the shape and gets forward well.
Yeah.
You know who's a candidate for that and a guy I really like who played in this game as well, but he plays on the opposite team. If I was a team that was looking for a middle third or a guy that could play like leader forward pack in the future is Egan Butcher.
Mm.
I like Egan
Give
Butcher.
Give him another 5 kilos.
I think
another year and a half, I reckon.
He has to play front row for them because they've got Victor Radley as well. I don't know. They're interchangeable, but – I just reckon Egan Butcher, if he was at a team where he could be the 13 and play big minutes and then play that ball-playing 13 role,
I think he'd kill it. That's what's going to suck. When you identify that talent, when you're like, Egan Butcher could be that dude somewhere else, but he's in a position now where he's never going to be like Victor Radley and you're just going to have to wait. Is he put on more size or does he go? You know what I mean? Like these next 2 or 3 years are important for kids like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to sit back after? Because Victor Radley ain't going anywhere.
No.
And he's not big enough for – to
front
be front
row consistently,
because he's only about
It'll have
6 foot.
It'll wear and tear on him if he does consistently play that. Even though I think he can play it at a high clip, it'll just get.
I think right now for his where he's at in his game, he just keeps picking at like a Victor Radley, keep getting bigger, keep working on his game till he gets. Because I think he's reasonably young, right?
Mm.
22 maybe. How old is Egan?
Yeah, 22, 23.
So if he gets to 25 and he's still in this position, right? Victor Radley would probably be 29. Then he can make a decision like that.
Yeah.
They'll move Victor Radley on, or does he stay, or do I become the man somewhere else?
Yeah.
So, but now I think he's so happy because he's a local junior and everything like that, and he's a gun, and he's in such a happy little place there. He can just develop his skills, right? So I think he's fucking quite skillful as a player, but he just runs holes.
I think he was a half as a kid.
He's got the mad skills, but because you get into first grade and you just listen to the coach and what the system is, just fucking hit holes and just take tough runs, all that sort of shit. So you leave your little kit bag of skills behind, don't you? Because you're not the ball playing lock. You're just that hard hitting edge player who runs fucking mad lines. And
you can't have too many of them as well.
Yeah, right? I'm glad that he'll probably just build on his skill. Him and Sia Wong coming through as well.
I love Sia Wong.
Yeah, and Sia Wong. They could really have something special there.
You know what? One thing that pissed me off, and this is not the Sam Walker tackle on Trindle. Yeah. If that was Victor Radley on fucking Oregon Kafusi, he would have got sent off. He left. Yeah. He left the ground. He got him around the chops.
Victor hit Trindle like that. Killed him.
He would have been fucking erased from the game.
But the intent was there. That's what we're saying, right?
No, it's
– Or is it
– It's the rule. It's the way that they judge it. So, like, if Sam – if that's the rule and it's a penalty and you get put on report, then so be it. Whatever, right?
The shoulder to the head.
Then make sure you do it for the middles and that as well. When outside backs and halves do it, Sam Walker's sweet to play this week.
Yeah, I know.
If that was Radley, he would have got 4 weeks.
Or Hargraves or anyone like that. It's just because of the way it looks.
Yeah.
And how it's perceived, right? Sam Walker, little half, oh, great tackle.
Trindle got straight
fucking
back up.
Fucking Victor Radley smacks fucking some winger or a little half or something late.
Front rower.
It looks awful, but for the game. And that's what they go off, how it's perceived and the fucking perception of it, and how aggressive it is. Because when Victor Radley or someone hits you, when these hitters hit you, you go on your back.
Mm.
You don't just get up and play the ball and everything's fine.
Yeah.
But it's
but the action.
Late, but it's the action.
Yeah.
But they'll never do that. They'll never do that. Because Sam Walker, he's not a fucking aggressive player.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a good hit. It deserved, that's what most of the players we've seen. I was like, fuck, he deserves that.
Mm.
But it'll never happen. So JT put a hit on like that. Yeah. Not touching JT, it's JT.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus, he don't hit hard, JT.
Yeah.
So if he does make a tackle like that and he gets you a little bit high, I can wear it.
Yeah.
But Luke O'Donnell does that.
No, the Donsky.
12 weeks. The Donsky's killing you.
The season review for the Sharks, pass or fail. And what else do they need? It's a tough one, eh?
It is. Because they
fought back,
they limped in as well, right? That one game, what, against South? That changed their season.
It did, yeah.
If they lose that one, South probably crawl up in there and Sharks sort of come back. I reckon it's a fail, considering what roster they have.
They were second last year?
Second last year.
Regular season?
If they had got to next week, they could sort of sit back and go, all right. But first week of the finals – this team that had that great, great year last year and whatever happened this year, I fucking thought they were going to hit the grand final.
Mm.
They had the complete pack.
They haven't won a finals game now since 2018.
Mm.
Do you think that's they obviously need another player. They need some more help. I thought Nico Hines was fucking great too, by the way.
Again,
he did everything he could, but probably kicked those last two field goals. But
fuck, they got blocked.
Tedesco and Kiri look like they're on target.
Yeah.
They're a funny one, the Sharks.
What do you think?
I've never really been sold on the Sharks for some reason. And I know I probably get a lot of hate for it. And Sharks fans message me when they go on runs, but they don't message me when they fucking lose these sorts of games. There's just something quite off. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. I just watch Sharks games and they underwhelm me. But then I'll look at them and I go, I love plays in the team. I love certain position groups, like their back five, how they can be, how they get in and do, and the yardage work that they do. But then they also do some dumb shit defensively. And then that, you know, like whether it's even like, I love Ronnie Mulatalo, right, for instance.
Yeah.
But even like how he fucked up a couple of tries at the start of the year, like there's always an expectation for me that Sharks are going to do something to fuck themselves for some reason.
Mm.
I don't know why that is. They don't really have moments they never, so the same person, even though it was Ronnie at the start of the year as an example, it's never the same person over and over again where you can go, all right, we can fuck him off. At one point, defensively,
that left edge was awful.
But I'm telling you, I was watching it closely. Moisa would have a kind of a game, and he'd miss two or three. Then the next week, Talakai would be awful, and then the week after that, even Teague Wilton or Calhoun would come in, and they would be average. And it's like, fuck, how do you fix that?
Because
it's not like the same. So like Moisa would get a spray, or they'd go through and they'd do some tape, and he would improve and he'd get better. But then maybe the doubt in and around him from the week before leads to Talakai biting too hard or the back row putting in too much pressure and leaving a gap. Yeah. So, and again, even with Nico's side defensively wasn't as solid as well. So I think the back end of this season was obviously a lot better on the run that they had going into the finals, but they're just missing something for me, the Sharks.
It's just only one play off, man.
Yeah.
One player off even. That could change their whole fucking dynamics.
Yeah.
You know, because there's Trindle, that dude.
Yeah, that would, if he's that dude and he can.
They're going to put everything in for him. Hopefully he has a massive preseason, trains his ass off and kills it, because he's got the talent, right? As I said, with these.
I think they're going to miss
the product
Plato
of the
too.
Game is it's hard to get fucking the spine right.
Halves.
The spine is so, it's so hard to get a good spine or a good seven and six. Mm. It's fucking hard, man. You're going to have these players that come in and out of your team. You can't have like players like Luai Cleary. You know how much of a blessing that is to have those guys nearly every game, week in, week out?
Yeah.
And then the guy at the back.
And then they've grown up together playing together.
You know, like you can have these makeshift spines, you know? So fucking hard, man. Even come across a decent seven these days. They're scouring the earth for fucking like the recruiters.
Yeah.
Right? It's hard to find them.
Those bottom eight teams are looking for something.
What's the fucking problem there? Mm. With the bottom 12 teams probably.
Yeah.
We don't have a fucking decent seven.
I don't know about bottom 12. Let me have a look at the bottom 12. Go back to that.
I'm pretty much saying there's five fucking good sevens.
All right, let's get back. Hughes, Gunn.
Yep.
Cleary, good.
Yep.
Reynolds, good.
Yep.
Ilias, yet to be determined. Moses, good. Sam Walker, yet to be determined.
Yep.
Sean Johnson, good, five. Chad Townsend, journeyman, improved over the years for sure. Your boy Hastings.
No.
Nico, six. DCE, seven. Fogarty, nah. Boyd, nah. O'Sullivan, nah. Sexton, nah. Ben Hunt is eight, 50%.
That you go week in, week out, that's my seven.
Yeah.
Everything else is interchangeable. Might have four or five good games here, two or three shit ones, back to reserve grade.
Good season, bad season.
Yeah, it's hard to string in good seasons now. These kids can't do one. They can't string five good games together, let alone five seasons.
Sharks, fail. I'm with you.
It is. It has to be.
I'm with you.
Because they would have been sitting here going, anything but a prelim for us this year is a fail.
And in the fashion that they lost against a Roosters team that had all of those players.
Give me
missing.
A full deck of Roosters.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone's charging, had a gun year. You could live with this. Mm. We just fucked up. We missed out on the top four for some shit games. Whatever.
Yeah.
You're not dying with this. It's going to hurt you all preseason.
Yeah. Moving on to the Knights versus Raiders. It was a cracker. KP ices the game at the end. Potentially could have been taken off for HIA, but 30-28. Ricky's Raiders turned the last game into a dogfight because that's just who they are.
It is. And I loved his fucking presser. Because that's who we are. We do that shit.
Yeah.
Fucking unreal. He'd be so proud of those boys, man.
Yeah.
That's when you can have a beer on Mad Monday or whatever you call it now and just hold your head up high. It's like, fuck. We had some players out, man. We're up at Newcastle, 29,000. Crazy. What atmosphere would have been off its head. They were never the favourites and they went down to the fucking golden point.
Two golden points.
Fucking second. Extended my Sunday by a minute. I was like, God, fucking end it. Why didn't they? We'll get to that.
Do you think the occasion got to the Knights? The you know, they haven't spent a couple of years out of the finals. We're talking about their inexperience in the spine. Like, I can't. Gamble wouldn't have played finals footy. No. Jackson Hastings wouldn't have played NRL finals footy, I don't think.
And Phoenix
Crossland is a guy that's just developed into a nine.
Ponga's played like two.
Ponga's played, they went back to back, eliminated in
both
finals.
They're the only seven finals Ponga's played, right? Even though he has played Origin at the highest level in Australia and all that kind of stuff, so it's fucking.
And there's a different energy around Newcastle at the moment too. Young and Mazu, 200 of the best again. They're the best. Ooh, I was going to say it out loud. And then fucking nearly let him down, mind you,
with his hands.
Yeah.
Couple of critical drops there. Lucky they fuck. They're lucky they won that fucking game, man. Canberra had them, and I was sitting there going, "Fuck no, Canberra can't win this because they're going to get pumped next week." I'm looking at the game, just going, "Newcastle, Newcastle can go over and get the Warriors, right?"
Yep.
Full deck of cards with for Newcastle, mate. They limped into it, Canberra.
Do you think?
I think our boy fucking Jack. I think he gets suspended.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know
what he could do. Did you send Jackie boy to go fucking
yeah, I told you, so
get the muzzle out?
Well, what's he supposed to do? I could. He was so low key about it. He goes, yeah. "I can't move my mouth."
Yeah.
He can move his arm.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He's
I'm with you. You were thinking the same. So Gamble's got it in there, right? And I've been in those situations before.
Brad Morin. Tamanatahu. Tamanatahu bit Moz proper bit him, right? Because it's a fucking reaction thing. Yeah, if you get someone jammed, I'm not sure if anyone's been fucking choked out or had a cross that on their fucking face. Like, you just want to fucking bite or get out of there somehow because it's killing your jaw and it's fucking smashing it and your lips and everything.
Or what happens if someone chokes? Like if someone's trying to choke you, what do? You bite down on your fucking mouth guard and you try. Like think about any time you've strained and you're trying to get up. You're biting down on your mouth guard or you're biting down on your teeth and you're grinding your teeth to get out of that situation. So if someone's got their arm in your mouth and he's going to get suspended and he probably deserves to get suspended. The bite mark, you can't fucking argue it. At the end of the day, he's got it there. He's probably clean. He's got the choppers out. He's had a clamp.
Yeah.
But I can understand it, but he's just going to get suspended now.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It was weird how like they end up getting the ball back. I thought.
Yeah. How was it not a penalty?
Yeah.
Ashley Klein, he fucking confuses me though. He
can't stop the game for fucking a minute and then put him on report and then give him the ball back. Said,
"Do you want?
Cheers, mate.
Do you want to report it?" And he's like, "Yes, there's fucking saliva on my arm. That's not sweat, there's saliva.
There's a big bite chunk out
and
of my arm.
And there's clearly a bite mark. How did he... I was so confused. I was like, oh, he's gone. He's going
to
get sent for sure.
You not put like the penalty straight away to Newcastle?
Or at least a penalty. He didn't even get a fucking penalty.
Play the ball, mate.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Ashley Klein is fucking... I don't know.
Sometimes.
I don't know how he's... Grant Atkins, he did the fucking Broncos versus Storm game. I've been saying this for ages. Good. Grant Atkins is the best referee. I don't know how it works. It's probably, you know, there's always politics and everywhere, right?
Everything.
Like, and runs on the board. Ashley Klein's been around since that fucking clip for you and
a full set
in
of test, hair there.
In test footy. You fucking removed all his hair from him. I think Ashley Klein comes up the most puzzling. I know it's hard being a referee, but consistently comes up with like
random shit, man.
Random shit.
Like stuff was like, does he know what he's doing? Is this guy the best ref in the game?
No, it's like he's lost. Like in that moment, all right, what's the – yeah, he's fucking bit me. All right, show me. You could see it on – you know normally – you know how sometimes you – because it's they're so small and
– or it could be on the strapping.
There's a little – you don't really get to see it. So people you go, oh, you just got to take him at his word.
No,
you could full see a bite the mark.
Dog bit him.
Clearly. Like, and I didn't even have that shit on HD either. I was just watching on red. And you could see the bite mark. Yeah, I don't know. He confuses me, Ashley Klein.
He's done a few of those this year. Like, what are you doing, mate?
He's a proper burger.
That's a penalty, right?
At minimum.
Give the ball to Newcastle and penalise Jack. Yeah. That's what that would have been in my head. Because he bit this little motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it on report and deal with it later. But you're not getting the ball back.
And Jack, and you're right, Jack Wharton
Jack
goes.
Jack was stunned.
He comes over and goes, what do you expect me to do? He almost, admission of guilt.
Yes, he did.
It was admission again. He came over and he goes, what do you want me to do?
Did you bite him? What do you want me to do? And he admitted it on fucking national TV and then he still gets the ball back.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Play the ball, Jack.
Play the ball, Jack.
And
sorry, Tyson.
He was chatting to one of the Saifidi twins who was at the fucking markers and he's like,
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And he's fucking selling it to then this big Saifidi goes, you just got to bite down on that shit. That's what I looked down to and then he goes to the refs. I was like, wow, he's going to get away with this.
All right, anyway. Moving on to the Raiders to finish off. Season review, the Raiders, pass or a fail?
I think it's a pass.
Yeah, I'm going pass.
Yeah, I think it's a pass with all the players that they've had missing and like in and out and I don't know, like especially missing Big Papa and Horsburgh and Sebastian Chris for that last game and going up there, just going all the way to the wire with Newcastle up there, everything against them. That's got to be a pass. It's that last game. They went out on their sword.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm pass. When I look at their team, I really like some play. And they've got so many dogs in there. But
Elliot Whitehead was a dog.
Oh, I love Elliot Whitehead.
Hit on Marju, man. No one hits Marju.
No one hits
Marju. He fucking pumped him.
Elliot Whitehead is a fucking dog.
Yeah.
He's
making.
He doesn't have big stats. Like, you know, I know he makes a lot of tackles and that sometimes, but he might not have a lot of attacking stats. But he's such a skillful, silky player. Yeah. Love smell. And they've got players like that, I suppose. Like, on their roster is is nowhere near as good as the Cowboys, Rabbitohs, Eels.
But it's the players they have, right?
Yeah.
Big Papa holds a lot of energy there for the young boys.
Yeah.
You know, Horsburgh, you know what I mean? You got Elliot Whitehead. Then you got big Jackie boy holding it down for the backs.
Jordan Rapana.
I think Jordan holds a lot of energy there. So they got just fucking really good leaders in the right positions, right?
Yeah.
And you just got to make sure you just put people around them that can do the job and that are willing to sort of fucking go in, all in every single game. And they do.
Yeah, they do.
They
maximize.
Never won a game. They never lost a game. They copped a few hides this year, not that many.
They had a couple of 13 plus against them, but they never had a 13 plus victory.
But it's only in the last sort of like 10 minutes that clubs will get them and really fucking put a massive points board against them.
Yeah.
It's like usually it's fucking 18-6 like with 20 minutes to go.
Yeah, 18-12.
Yeah, it's some real nice, and then they end up winning 32-12.
Yeah. Yeah, good week of footy. Excited for previewing this Thursday. Mm. So hope you enjoyed week one of finals, this show.
Good, man. And we'll see you. It's only going to get better.